Welcome back for another episode of Errant Adventures, the solo actual play podcast where stories are told at the speed of dice. With me, Steve Morrison, your game master and solo player. Now come on, let's grab the dice and see where our story goes. Welcome back for another episode of Errant Adventures as we continue book one of this new adventure. Last time, we were introduced to Sejana Lushale, a licensed independent recovery specialist working in Devonshire, the capital city of the Cassadin system. She's been hired by GenCorp to find a man named Kelevar Rin, who stole some comm logs from their corporate office and fled to Devonshire. She visits the Star Strider's Respite, a bar just outside the Heraklion Interstellar Spaceport, to talk to the bartender Laird. She asks if he's seen Rin, but he doesn't recognize the face. Forced to take a different path, Sejana taps into her technomantic powers, looking for a read on Rin's energy signature. Instead, she draws the attention of a Void Wraith, who almost breaks through from void space into the real world. Next, she turns to hunting for potential information brokers, who might be willing to buy the stolen comm logs. She narrows the list down to one name, Rook. He hates her, so she meets up with a fellow shipmate named Ayati Kailana and asks her to visit Rook to gain the information Sejana is after. Ayati agrees, for 5,000 rue and a dinner out, and visits Rook as Zira, someone interested in buying the stolen comm logs. She successfully convinces him that she is genuinely interested, and he tells her to come back the following day. She meets up with Sejana after and shares the intelligence. Sejana Lushale leans against the building wall, waiting and watching. Ayati entered Rook's office a handful of moments before, and mentally Sejana is counting down the seconds, ready to go after the pilot at the slightest indication that there's a problem. Sejana wouldn't usually use one of her shipmates as a liaison for some of her work. But given the circumstances and her need for information on Kelevar Rin, she didn't see that she had any other choice. As the moments tick by and Sejana becomes more and more concerned that maybe Ayati couldn't handle this sort of work, that Rook had found her out and was holding her, that Ayati was in danger. About the time that she convinces herself it's time to kick in the door, Ayati walks around the corner, whistling, looks her in the eyes and says, "Well, that was fun." Sejana looks at her and says, "Are you all right?" "Well, of course I'm all right. What's the matter? Didn't you think I was going to be able to handle it?"
"No, of course. I had full confidence that you would be able to handle it. Did you get the information?"
"Well, of course I got the information. Well, I got some information. Sounds like he doesn't have these comm logs you're looking for yet. But he told me to come back tomorrow with some rue and that he'd have the information then. Either he's got the information and he just hasn't had a chance to vet it, or he hasn't met your boy yet."
"Wonderful, Ayati. I really appreciate it. And you're certain he's not suspicious of you?"
"Nah, he was eating out of my hand. Told me to come back tomorrow with 25,000 rue. And that I'd have those comm logs.
So, what's next?"
"What's next is that you return to the ship and go about your life. And once I have completed my contract, I will fulfill our part of the deal and get you your rue."
"Well, I don't want to go back to the ship right now. I mean, I came all this way, and maybe there's something I can do to help you."
"Really, Ayati, it's important that I continue on alone. The life of Elia is not safe."
"Lushale, I was a scout pilot for a bunch of years. I almost died doing that. I know what living a dangerous life is like, and it doesn't scare me. Look, I don't want to go back unless you're telling me that you're going to force me to go back to the ship, which I don't know that you can do. I'd like to stick around. At least for the safe parts. I get it. You don't want me running in there with you if you gotta go into a gunfight. But you're not expecting this to turn into a gunfight, are you?
I typically expect everything to turn into a gunfight.
Well, with you, I suppose that's fair, but... Look, I just want to help you keep an eye out. I suspect you're gonna keep an eye on Rook's shop. And see if he either has this fella come to him or goes out to meet him. Maybe I can hang out. Maybe I can help you be a couple of extra eyes looking out for trouble. What do you say?
Sejana takes a deep breath and says,
All right, but you have to listen to what I say. And if there are any sort of complications or I think there's any danger at all, listen to me and remove yourself. Hey, I'm not here to get in your way. I just want to help out.
So Sejana and Ayati are going to stake out the offices of the information broker, Rook. I think she plans to keep an eye and see basically exactly what Ayati said, whether or not Calivar Rin comes to the shop or if Rook leaves the shop to go meet Rin somewhere. She is going to keep an eye out on the front of the shop, which is what she's doing now. But I think she's aware that there's most likely a back entrance to the shop. And so she wants to keep track of that as well. And so I think to do that, she is going to activate a small drone. She reaches into her pocket and she produces a flat disc. When she presses a button on it and it sort of floats up into the air, and then she activates her cue on her gauntlet and enters a sequence, and the drone whirs up into the air and it heads over to the other side of this building. And she is going to set it on a passive scan. So it's there to watch for any coming or going through that back door. And we are going to go ahead and roll. And this is going to be an electronics check. Now, in Traveler, there are the skills and then there are subcategories under those skills. So there is a skill called electronics that covers pretty much all sort of electrical related materials. And Sejana specifically has training in electronics computers, so she can use and control computer systems and similar electronics and electrics. But there's also a sub-skill called remote ops, which she does not have. So she is able to roll with her electronics skill level, which is a 0, and she's going to add her intellect to this. So she's got an intellect of 2. She is incredibly smart. And so we're going to roll our 2d6 plus 2. And our difficulty on this is going to be an average check. So the target number is 8. 2d6 plus 2. Here we go. 5 and 3 on the dice. That's an 8 plus 2 is a 10 for a success. So she is able to program this drone. It flies up over the buildings and settles into an overwatch position on the backside of the building, watching that door. Now we should ask another question, and this time it's a question for our Oracle chart. Is Rook going to have Rin come to him, or is he going to go out and meet Rin somewhere? Now, personally, I think that Calivar Rin is paranoid enough that he's not going to just show up at this information broker's office. And so I think they're going to meet at a separate location. So I'm going to say that it is likely that Rook has to leave his office to go meet Rin at a secondary location. So I'm going to roll my percentile dice, and if I get 75 or less, that is a yes, and Rook will be leaving at some point to go find Rin. Here we go. 33 is a yes, and because there are matching numbers on the die, 33, it indicates an exceptional result. So what would be an extreme result for Rook having to leave and go somewhere to meet Rin? I know what the extreme result is, so we'll get to that in a minute. So Sejana and Ayadi are watching as people come and go down the street. They're waiting for Rin to close up and leave, or for somebody matching Kalevar Rin's description to arrive. And I'm going to make one more roll before we kind of dip back into the narrative as we proceed forward. And that is going to be a recon roll. Recon is basically how well Sejana is perceiving the area around her. So she has a 1 in that skill, plus her intellect of 2. So she's rolling at plus 3. I'm going to give her an additional plus 2 bonus because she's taking extra time to do this, and she has technology that is helping her out. So we're going to roll plus 5 on this as we roll our 2d6. I'm going to say it's an average check again. So plus 5, here we go. Another 8 on the dice, plus 5 is a 13, which is only 5 above. So as far as effect goes, that is a normal average success. She does see something. And what she sees is the light on the front facade of Rook's office goes dark. And the drone out back picks up movement. Her cue activates, and she sees Rook leaving the office towards a small drift car that is parked out back. Sejana grabs Ayadi and says, "All right, he's moving. Let's go." And she is going to send the drone down and have the drone attach itself to that drift car as Rook climbs into it, activates it, and takes off into the air. Sejana hurries back down the alley to where she left the small hovercraft that she came in. And for her, it's like a small like hover bike that has 2 seats. So Ayadi climbs on behind her. She activates the hover feature and it lifts off the ground. And she ties in the tracking features from the drone into the navigation system of the drift bike. And then she slowly releases the throttle and begins to follow at a safe distance. Rook, in his drift car, begins to fly deeper into the warehouse district that they're in. Ayadi, through the comms in their helmets, says, "Where do you think he's going?" And Sejana doesn't respond. She just shakes her head and maintains focus on the tracking information as the drift car goes deeper and deeper into this district. Finally, the drift car sets down on a large pad, and there are a whole bunch of other drift cars here. Sejana slows down and holds her drift bike back so that they're not approaching the same platform that Rook is on. And she keeps an eye out as Rook pops out of the drift car and heads towards a low-lying building, on top of which are several transport pods. Looking at this, she nods her head and says,
"Of course, Rin's not actually in Devonshire yet. He's on Overlook."
Ayadi says,
"That makes sense. Instead of coming into the planet, hit the station first, find out what you can, and then decide your course of action from there."
"Exactly. Rook must be going up to Overwatch to meet with Rin to get the information."
"We better hurry if we're going to beat him to it."
"Yes."
So she is going to bring her drift bike down and land on a pad on the opposite side of the building. And then she will jump off. She's going to remove her helmet. And then she is going to pull a small cap out of the pocket of her jacket and pull it over her short-cut blonde hair and tuck the bill down so that it's a little bit over her eyes. She is going to start making her way towards that same low-sitting building, Ayadi in tow. When they enter the building, there are a bustle of people. There are a couple of kiosks where lines have formed, and people step forward. They scan their credit chit across the kiosk and enter some information, and then a chime sounds on their personal queue as a ticket for transport to Overlook, the orbital space station that hovers above Davinshire. Sejana looks around this bustling room, and after a moment, she spots Rook. She sees where he is and is going to attempt to get in line behind him. And we're going to roll another roll here, which is going to be stealth this time. Sejana has a stealth of 1, and she has a dexterity of 1, so she gets +2 to this. And I'm going to say, instead of this being an average check, which the target number would be 8 or more, I'm going to say it's a routine check of 6 or more. Because she has a disguise on, and because Rook is not looking specifically for her. So we're going to say that 6 plus, roll 2d6, +2, here we go. 11 on the dice, +2 is a 13, and that is an exceptional success. That's 6 or more over the target number. It succeeds in an impressive and elegant fashion. The dice have turned around for me, for this first part of the session at least. So I think because it's an exceptional success, what this means is that Sejana stays behind Rook by a few people, and she's able to kind of suss out where he's entering the information, because these transport pods go to different parts of Overlook. She's going to wait and see where he's headed, and then she enters in her own information. She pays for 2 tickets and is going to follow Rook into the transport pod that is going to take them all up to Overlook. And because she got an exceptional success, I'm going to say that there are enough people in this small transport pod that Rook has no idea that she and Ayati are there. They settled into their seats. They strap in. There is an announcement over the speakers of, you know, lift off in 2 minutes. Transit to Overlook will take 45 minutes. You know, so on and so forth. The two of them are strapped in on the back corner of this transport pod, and Rook is facing away from them on the other side. As the transport pod lifts off the ground and begins to ascend towards Overlook, the pod breaches the atmosphere, reaching into space. From her seat, Ayati looks out a small window and turns back to Sejana and says, "You know, I'm not used to coming at it from this way. I'm so used to seeing space from the wolf that I forget sometimes what most people's experience of it is. Leaving the atmosphere, going into space with no control, nothing but hopes and dreams." She looks over at Sejana and says, "How about you, Lushael? Did you go into space with hopes and dreams?" Sejana looks away for a moment from where Rook is sitting and looks at Ayati. She says, "If I had hopes and dreams, I forgot them." "That sounds mighty grim." "Time at the academy will do that to a person. Follow that with a war and years of chaos and uncertainty. And yes, you'll start to lose sight of your hopes and dreams." Ayata's expression changes. She looks back out the window and she says, "You're not wrong." And then there's silence between them, and they continue the rest of the transit that way, neither looking at the other. The transport pod approaches Overlook, which is this massive space station, a sort of conical shape with the tapered point of it pointing down towards Davinshire. The space station rotates, and there's a flurry of activity as repair drones and small craft buzz around the exterior. There are dozens of ships floating around the station, as not every ship gets access to the planet's surface. Not every ship is capable of entering a planet's atmosphere. And so those ships that are unable to land on a planet's surface come to Overlook to unload their goods, to unload their passengers and their crew for transit down to the planet's surface. It is almost like another bustling metropolis floating in the skies above the largest city in the Cassadin system. As the transport pod approaches, there's a litany of communication flowing back and forth between the station and this transport pod and the hundreds of other pods that are coming and going from the station at any given moment. This particular pod heads towards mid-station and docks. As the people begin to filter out from the pod, Sejana and Yayati hold back until they're certain that Rook has emerged out of the pod. Following behind, they enter the long, cramped corridors of Overlook Station. Built in a ring, the station hallways circle the outer edges of the station with shops and habitation and all sorts of other locales, all built towards the center of the station. Rook makes his way through the bustle as people emerge from the pods that have docked in this area and heads towards a large opening with neon flashing letters above the archway that leads into this particular space. And those neon letters spell out the final jump. Ayati sees it and says, "Well, all right, maybe we can get ourselves a nice drink while we're here." "Focus, Ayati. We're here to keep an eye on Rook, and if possible, intercept Rin before he meets with Rook. Doesn't mean we can't have some fun while we're at it, right?" "Just follow along." The two of them head towards the Final Jump, which is the most famous bar on Overlook. It's the home to the hottest ales, the strongest liquors, and the most ferocious competition in the Brawling Pit. It's mid-afternoon on the station, and so it's not as raucous as it is at night, but there are still plenty of people here. The music's loud, and there is dancing going on in various corners. The two of them enter the final jump and look around, and they see Rook head to a small table in a corner. There's nobody else there at the moment, and so Sejana finds herself a spot to keep an eye on the door and to keep an eye on the room. And now comes the challenging part, the waiting. Waiting for Rin to show up. Waiting for an opportunity to intercept him. And so we're going to do another recon check as Sejana and Ayati sit in the final jump and watch for Kelevar Rin. I think this is going to be a very difficult check, which is a target number of 12, because there are a lot of people coming and going, and while Sejana has an image to compare against, is she going to be able to recognize Rin and intercept him before Rook sees them? So I'm going to roll 2d6 plus our recon of 3 and hope for the best. Now, in Traveler, there is a thing called a task chain where you can have someone else roll and then, if they succeed, add a bonus to your roll. So Ayati is going to task chain with Sejana on this. Ayati doesn't have recon, But what she does have is carouse. And carouse is the skill of drinking and hanging out. And so I think she and Sejana have arranged for themselves to be in separate parts of the bar. And I think Sejana, before they enter the bar, turns to her and says, Ayati, we shouldn't both sit in the same place. We can cover more ground if we split up. If you're going to be here and you want to be part of this operation, then I might as well put you to work, right? Of course. That's what I'm here for. I want to help out. Excellent. Well, Rook has seen you, so make sure you don't cross into his eye line. Go to that other side of the bar and wait and watch. And I'll stay on this side over here and keep an eye. And if you see Rin, don't approach him. Contact me.
Of course. Easy peasy.
And so we are going to roll carouse for Ayati as a task chain. And for that, I'm just going to say it's an average difficulty. So target number of 8, 2d6 plus 1 for Ayati. Here we go. 8 on the dice plus 1 is a 9. So that is a success with effect of 1 to 5, which means that Sejana is going to get a plus 2 on her recon roll. So this will be plus 5, but she has to beat a 12. 9 on the dice plus 5 is a 14, which is a success. How is Ayati's carousing aiding Sejana in her recon? Ayati gets to chatting with a couple people at the bar. They're just swapping spacer stories, bullshitting, and enjoying a couple of drinks when one of the regulars at the bar kind of looks over at the door and says, oh, here it comes again. And Ayati says,
well, here comes who?
This sad looking fella's come in here the last day or so, every few hours, and sits down at the bar and has a drink or two and looks around real nervous-like. And then he leaves. And then he comes back. And Ayati looks over and sees Calavar Rin sitting at the bar, kind of looking around nervously. And she reaches down to her own personal cue and taps out a message to Sejana, and that message races across the bar and displays on Sejana's cue. With a snap of her head, she turns and looks and sees Rin as he is looking around as if he's searching for someone. She stands and she walks over and she sits down in the seat next to him. And Rin's shoulders kind of hunch, and he looks directly at her, first at the Technomancer gauntlet on her arm, and then up to her face, and he pales. And he just jabbers for a moment. He's just like, at which point Sejana says, relax. I'm not here to hurt you, but you and I need to have a conversation.
Who are you?
Who I am is unimportant. What matters is who hired me. You stole something you shouldn't have, Mr. Rin. Now, why don't you be a good lad and hand it over to me?
You don't understand. I had to. I had to take it. It's not what you think. Like, I don't want to make money off of it. I need to get it into somebody's hands who can do something with it.
She raises her gauntleted hand and says, stop talking. Do you have the data on you?
No. No, I don't.
She looks at him with, if possible, even more intensity, and he instantly melts and is like, oh, okay, I do.
But wait, let me, can I please tell you what's on it?
No, that's not why I'm here. I'm here to recover the information. Now give me the data. So she's going to make a persuade check. But the thing is that Sejana does not have persuade as a skill. So she's going to take a minus 3 to this because she is untrained. But I think it's a routine check. I don't think it's a difficulty of 8+ because she is fairly intimidating without having any skill in persuade. And Rin is not necessarily overly brave. We're going to roll 2d6 minus 3. We got to beat a 6. Oh, no. That's 4 on the dice. Minus 3 is a 1. Thankfully, with that 6 being the target number, it is not an exceptional failure, but it is still a failure. She says this about hand over the data, and there's maybe something in her voice. His back sort of stiffens a little bit, and he looks at her and he says, "Wait, do I know you?" She says, "What does that matter? Give me the data. That's what I'm here for, and that's it. But if you don't cooperate..." No, wait. I do know you. You were part of Falcon Squad. You were there on Centauri 4 when those Regul ambushed us. I remember you. You saved my life. Thanks for listening to Errant Adventures. If you enjoyed the show, please spread the word. And if you want to support the show directly, leave me a review or support me on Patreon at patreon.com/errantadventures. You can also buy me a coffee at ko-fi.com/errantadventures. If you want to interact with me, my handle on all the socials is at @errantsolopod. Or you can email me at errantsolopod@gmail.com. I also post short fiction and campaign-related materials on my website, errantadventurespod.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you in the deep, liars.